Now, this is Channel 2 over in the beginning of the second session. This is during lunch. The second session with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne, this Tuesday, the 27th of July, 71. Beginning of Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne. This is the second part of it, the second session. This Tuesday, the 27th of July, 71. Channel 2 over. And the continuation of the visit of Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday, the 27th of July, 71.
Well, I tell you. Here, dry your hands off.
He made out like he was so mad at me, you know, and he says, I've been hearing somebody.
Now, who's this?
Joe Smith.
Oh.
And I said, you mean somebody was talking about you? Yeah, I hear the whole rigmarole. And I said, well, now, you know, I'd just like to know who that was and what right did they have to talk about you?
Yeah.
Your husband?
Him. No.
He said, he said, you've been talking. I said, who, me? I ain't seen nobody to talk to. Well, yeah, you did. You told it. I said, who, me? I told who? And he up and told me. And I had forgot, you know, and weren't thinking about, I told you about it, you know. He made out like he was so mad.
You mean it got back to him?
Yeah, it got back to him. Her husband went and told him.
Why, you just can't trust anybody.
No.
I didn't think it'd get any further than my husband. I didn't know he knew Joseph. It's not, you know, the, say something like
that. Oh, so that's the way it got back. Well, now you said.
Well, you see some of the other boys. Marvin called him up and told him about it. And that man said, now you just wait till I see him, or whoever he was, some of the people. And he went and got on to Joe about it, you know. And they just carried Joe, just ragged him about it. And one fella, he drawed a picture.
Drawed a picture?
Mm-hmm. And left it on his desk. And then naturally did carry him to town about that.
They must have got him.
They did.
Well, what are they going to do to Marvin about this? When they find out this woman came up and said, I had it.
No, that's just what I'm wondering. They're going to get him, though.
They get it?
Because I'm going to tell Joe about it.
They're laying for him?
They're laying for him.
What should you do?
She went up and she had a little tiny baby. We knew she was going to have the baby.
Y'all were downtown somewhere.
Yeah, we was in Don Lee's feed store, and she walked up and she said, look at there, Marvin, I had it, I had it. Marvin said, well, I'm doggone if you didn't have it. And there, too, I was in there, and Toby said, I sure am glad you come in. I got something I want to tell you. And said, I said to myself, uh-huh. You wait till I see her. I'm going to tell her about that. And I made out like Toby. I was so mad about it. And I saw Toby Saturday, Wendy, and I said, Toby, do you reckon I could get a divorce? He says, I don't see why they wouldn't. He said, that's good grounds.
That's the usual grounds, huh?
And just so out and open about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you use for bread.
Oh,
pray.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter. I don't know Joe Smith, do I?
I don't believe you do. Do you?
I never met him.
Where have I?
Have you met
him?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you want to meet him and his wife?
I didn't know Jim knew him so well. So he came home and said he told him. I thought, oh no.
Can't trust anybody.
he don't live out in this neighborhood.
No, he lives on the other side of Gainesville.
Yeah.
Out on the Newberry Road. That's the ones that bought him a $65,000 home.
Woo!
Well, we saw him at the homecoming.
Yeah, you did. That's right.
And her.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're two swell people.
It didn't go to the head?
No, no, no. Mm-mm. And Polly come out there and she wanted me to sign, and I said, no, I can't do it, Polly.
Sign a note?
Mm-hmm. For me to buy them $65,000. See, you got to be worth $65,000, don't you?
Oh.
And I told her, I said, no, Polly, I can't do it. It didn't make a man. Because if something had happened, I'd have bought me a home. I had been into it. I tell you, you have to be careful.
Well, I'm surprised she asked you.
I bet she had no experience, you know. She expected to go ahead and make payments, you know.
Well, she didn't expect anything.
No, but then if something would have happened to her.
Yeah.
Or Jill.
But in her estimation, anything gonna happen.
She is swell, though.
And they come out right often, don't they?
Mm-hmm. And Jill both. A lot of people have asked me, why did they come to your house? Two young people like that. I said, because they just like me, that's why.
Well, sure. Suzanne would rather move at your house than anywhere I know.
Oh.
That's the truth. Now I have two.
They come over there and Polly will cook up a great big meal, you know. Bring it out there at home. We'll eat it together.
Oh, they're young.
You mean they'll cook it and bring it out there?
Yeah. That's what a lot of people says. Why do they go to your house? They're young people. You and Marvin's so much older than they are.
They like it.
You know, that never did make any difference with me. If I liked anybody, I liked them.
That's right. Me too.
I always saw a little age on them helped them.
It does.
That's the truth.
It does.
I never went around looking for young people.
Find somebody who's got more sense than you got.
Well, not that, but then there's some things that you could tell me that I don't know anything about. And there's some things you know that I know that I probably don't mind anything, but I could tell you and help you along. Say, well, you're cooking, or maybe you're housekeeping. You don't know it all. I don't care how much education that anybody got. There's always somebody just a little bit. Now, I've been cooking all my life, and heck, this people can tell me lots about it.
Well, different things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Mary, I want you to teach me how to make hush puppies.
Well, there's no problem for that.
Well, there is one I fix them.
And what do you mean, no problem?
There's just nothing to it but just make them up and fry them.
Sounds so simple when you know how.
But, Miss Mary, I follow a recipe, and those tongues come out crisp on the outside. And you can drop them on the floor and they'll bounce. And yeah. My husband says they're not supposed to be like that.
They're tough. Huh?
Tough, yeah.
Leathery.
Gooey inside. And Miss Mary's hush puppies, I watched her fix them.
And you did it just like she did?
And you put flour in and cornmeal and ketchup and an egg and water.
Mm-hmm.
And just drop it in there and those things will just...
I use milk to make them up with.
Milk?
Mm-hmm.
And you ever see them make biscuits?
Yeah, she made biscuits for me that afternoon, too.
But I used the shift powdered milk. You know, I can't go every time and get milk when the cow milk gives out. So I just buy the shift dry powdered milk and mix it. Use it. It's just as good.
And to cook with, but simple.
Is that right? Is it whole milk?
It's supposed to be. You add water to it, you know, and stir it up. You got whole milk.
Oh, yes. And then if milk gives out, you don't have to run to the store.
That's right, and you don't have to keep it refrigerated.
Yeah.
I could never cook a ham paste like this.
You can turn the oven on, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to do. And now that is simple. Now hush puppies ain't, but that is.
Hey, maybe she don't want to cook one that tastes like that.
Could
this
be.
Is delicious. This is real good.
I tell you, it has to be a good ham before I can cook it, though.
Well, where do you get a good ham?
Bill Dennis.
Done that make enough? I can't buy any meat from him fit to eat.
How about that, Faye?
Me and Marvin has went down there and bought several hams, and it wasn't a thing in the world but shoulder.
Is that right?
That's right.
Maybe she don't know the difference.
Well, I've had good luck. And you had a steak over here one night that we got down there. It was
mm-hmm.
pretty good.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Mary, I could go down there and I wouldn't know what to buy. I gotta go in the store and see it all laid out in packages with the name on it before I know what I'm getting.
See, I ought to butcher a few animals. I ought to, too.
Well, where would she get the butcher?
That's just it.
Okay. Won't let you. So I understand you can't sell a hog.
Can't sell him.
No.
Is that right?
That's right. You can't move a horse out of the state. You can't move a horse in. They got everything messed up. Oh, you know, I heard this morning where them astronauts had had trouble.
And look what a good send off with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they always seem to have a little trouble. Do they do that just for us?
I really don't know. But they had trouble in hooking up their equipment. No, it was a shortage.
Oh, that's how much I know about it.
Pretty shortly after they got up in the air, the light come on.
Yeah.
And they thought it was a shortage. And they said that it might cause a problem in them landing when they got to the moon.
Yeah.
Well, it said that they was going to go to sleep and they was going to wake them up. How in the world did they wake them up?
Now, that is something.
How did they wake them up?
Miss Mary, they get a big alarm clock and put it next to the speaker and just let it go off.
Well, how does these people up here
time.
And Houston, they're the ones that wake them up.
Now, isn't that something?
Well, they take that blood pressure all the time.
Yeah.
And the heartbeat. And they know how much water they got in the system. Don't you? Isn't that amazing? They're way off up there. They don't have to go to Willis.
Well, how did they find out that the...
Isn't it amazing? I don't think about those things.
Russians died.
Yeah.
How did they find that out?
What happened to them? Well, that's it. That's it.
How do they know?
It's sort of weird, isn't it?
You know anybody that's that smart looks like that they could keep them from dying, don't it?
Yes.
That's the truth. Mm. That's the truth.
Well.
And they were all right till that radio cut off, and when they landed, they were dead. And that's not but about less than five minutes.
But it was instant. Mm-hmm.
Well, I never did keep up with that. Did they go to the moon, and were they on the way back?
No, they went out in space and stayed 3 weeks.
Just stayed. See how long they stayed
around.
That's right.
They went out. You see, the Russians have let us have the moon. I don't know about this. I don't follow this with me. But I somehow get that impression. And what they're doing, they are getting a landing place up there where people can go up there and see. What do you call it?
Space station.
Space station.
Between you mean the Russians is doing that?
Yeah.
They're going to show the United States something.
Yes.
One of these days. I declare, people is getting too wise.
Oh, way yonder.
But I tell you.
Let me tell you. Well, what's Mr. Allman's name?
Irvin.
Irvin Allman, come over and visit them.
Don't tell me.
Mm-hmm. Want to know why we hadn't been going to church?
Yes.
Well?
And he wants us to go back.
See, he come all the way over there just to tell them they missed him. If he could have heard us on him that night in the living room, he wouldn't. He might not have come. He sent somebody else.
It weren't you. It was me.
Yeah. Yes, I was proud that you all had him in the church. I was his backer.
You sure was. Oh, I reckon he can't help it. He likes to brag on his own self. Won't nobody brag on him.
What did I say? I said, what did he talk about? He said, she said his self.
Oh, is that his subject?
That's right. In the church.
Yeah. What people think about him is it's rare to have such an honest fella.
How smart he is.
Oh, he tells you that.
And he's such a good Christian.
Oh, he's smart and he can speak out. He can talk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he can do that, can't he?
He sure can. Yeah, I've always heard that empty wagon made loud noise, and it sure does.
Don't you talk tall, church?
Me?
Yeah.
No. You ought to go out there and hear the woman preacher.
A woman preacher?
Mm-hmm. They got a woman preacher out there. Mr. Ellis has gone to school.
Yes.
And they got a woman preacher out there.
Why did he go to school?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Ellis is the last one that...
That's right.
Mervyn and his sister.
Mm-hmm. Hightailed it over to Orlando and got him in there.
At the meeting.
That's right. Kind of commissioner meeting.
Is that where they found it?
No, ma'am.
No.
What did they call it? Board meeting? Oh, yeah.
I was trying to think.
Conference.
That's right.
Conference, yeah.
Went to the conference.
And just presented you with him.
Mm-hmm. We didn't know anything about it till the other one was done gone and he'd come in.
Well, they know how to do it.
They sure do.
I tell you, talking about these people who know everything, and talking about your doctor. Now, your doctor knows a lot, and you can depend upon him. Well, you know, they took Ben, Daisy's husband, to the hospital. And
they finally got him to the hospital, but he conked out.
Yeah, he conked out, and they had to take him to the hospital. And Daisy, she was just so put out. They took him to the medical center, and she had to sit there and wait and wait and wait. And finally, one of these young doctors came down and said, "What'd you bring him here for?" And she said, "How do I know what's wrong with him? That's for you to tell." And this young doctor said, "What's wrong with him?" She said, "I don't know. But you tell me." Thank you. And she was down there sitting on her porch just fuming, because they thought she ought to know what was wrong with him.
He had never been to the doctor.
No.
They couldn't get him to the doctor.
Well, did he get all right?
I don't know. I think they've operated. I don't know what's the matter with him. He's not well at all, you know.
Oh, he'd been going down, and they couldn't get him to do a thing. He just sat on the porch and rolled cigarettes.
And sleep.
And stay up all night with the light on.
And count his money.
But she said, "Let me tell you something. If I have to go to the hospital, don't take me to the medical school center. They got too many cars, too many people, and way too many doctors."
That's right.
You had experience over there?
Oh, yeah. I haven't been myself.
You just visited.
But you know, James was in there over.
Oh, yes.
And my brother's boy was in there. He took a high fever. He got off of the school bus one evening. And he was just young, about 17 years old. And he limped. And from that, he took a high fever. And he had one. He went slap-a-dab crazy. He went out of his head, and he talked all kind of stuff, and my brother carried him to Trenton to a doctor. And this little old doctor said he had a slipped disc in his back and told him to put him on the floor. Put his bed on the floor, you know, where it'd be hard, and put him on the floor. And they did, and it was Sunday, and he just went slap-a-dab. It just like to kill him. He just wet all over the floor and all over everything, and he talked about everything except something that was sensible, something somebody knew something about. So my brother, he got him, and he carried him up there to the medical center. And he stayed up there two or three days, maybe three or four days, and I was in there with him one day. And there come four doctors in there, and they thought that I was the boy's mother. And they asked me, would I step on the outside a minute, and they just picked up one of his feet, and he just hollered, and he cried, and he screamed, and he said, "Don't do that, you're killing me." And they come out there, and they told me, they said, "We found out what your boy's trouble was." And I said, "You did?" And they said, "Yeah." And they said, "His appendix is bursted." And I said, "How long have they been bursted?" 4 or 5 days. And said, "We want to go in there right now." Says, "We got to." Said, "He just got a slim chance. And we might have a chance to save him if we take it out right now." Says, "He's got an abscess that big in his side." I said, "You just wait just a minute." And I run down the hall and got my brother. And he run up there, and they told him the same thing. And they carried him off, and they kept him 3 or 4 days and nights. So we were sitting up there waiting for them to bring him back from the recovery room. And the doctors come out and said he didn't have no symptoms of no appendicitis, but said we did take it out while he was in there. While we were in there.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't get a bit better.
Oh.
He just kept right on. And they taken him and split him all the way down his back. And he liked to die from that. They couldn't find nothing. Well, then in a few days, they taken him and laid him on his stomach now and split both sides wide open and took out 2 bones. I don't know what kind of bones they were or anything, but he lay up there and he just come in a ace of dying.
Never heard anything like that.
And we ain't never till this day found out what they cut on him so much for and what they ever found out.
Well, did they ever find out anything?
If they did, we didn't ever find out what it was. He's all right now, as far as I know. He's married and in Jacksonville and selling Ford cars.
And look what he'd been through.
Look what he'd been through. And when I had so much trouble with my mouth, I made mention to Dr. Gibney one day about sending me to the medical center, and he said, "I'll never do it." He said, "I ain't going to send you up there." He said that was just an experiment station.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Well.
You had trouble with your mouth?
I did have when I had my teeth pulled.
Oh, yes.
When I first had my teeth pulled, they messed me up. They pinched a nerve.
Yes. Oh. Oh, that can really give you a fit.
I like to went crazy with it.
Yeah. Well, how did they finally handle it?
Well, I spent all the money Mr. Guthrie had and all we could get a hold of, and I wasn't any better. And I went down to Dr. Gibney one day, and Dr. Gibney asked me, did they x-ray me? And I said, no. I said, they didn't do a thing in the world but take my money and send me home and give me another appointment to come back. And he said, well, that sure is a way to doctor on somebody. And he asked me, would I go down to the hospital and have an x-ray made for him? I told him, I said, I sure will. I'll do anything in the world if you'll just give me some relief. And I went down and had the x-ray made, and they sent me back to Dr. Gibney, and when I got back up there that night, he said that I had a pinched nerve.
And once they found it, there was no trouble?
Well, Dr. Gibney gave me 4 punctures in the head. And they tell me that he's the only man can do that in game. Well, they said that in Ocala, there was one more man could do that.
Yeah.
He gave me 4 that night. About 10 o'clock, and sent me home, and told Marvin, he said, I want to right back in here at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to give her four more. And he kept on, he gave me four at the time. And then he finally he'd cut it down two and three times a week.
Oh.
And then he got it cut down to once a week. And then he got to where he told me, he said, whenever you feel it coming on you, he said, get in your car and come right back. And he just kept on giving me those punctures. And he straightened it out.
But it still took a lot, it wasn't easy to do.
It wasn't easy to do.
Well, you went to the right man, didn't you?
Sure did.
Gee, well, I think that's half of it.
But he said what they would do, they would go in my face and they would cut that nerve. And he said the whole side of my face would perish away. And he said he wasn't going to let them do it.
Scares you to death, just thinking you might not have hold of the right doctor.
That's right. Oh, sir.
This is good as ice cream. Better than ice cream. I could never make it back that. Oh. I've tried. You can't make it like that. I talk too much. Now y'all go ahead and talk to me.
Well, you know what? I was just thinking.
I was just thinking about that nerve pinch.
Yeah. Anytime you got a nerve pinch, you got trouble, haven't you?
That's right.
Anyway.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Dr. Marchand pulled my teeth, and then he went in there and he cut the flesh all off of my jawbones, and he ground my jawbones down. Well, then when he sewed it up, you know, I reckon. I had my mouth packed for a week or so. I don't know just how he done it. But he pinched a nerve and it come all around killing me.
And you know he's supposed to be one of the great doctors, Dr. Marchand. That he's one of the first people I ever heard of when I came to Florida. So you can't tell. He's supposed to be one of the good ones. And I went to him.
Hmm. One thing in the world wrong that he could think of, and he finally decided I had an allergy.
Oh, no.
And he sent me to a dermatologist. And the dermatologist said there weren't no doctor in the world or no medicine could do me any good. That it would just take time and then it would just pass away.
Well, he didn't know what was wrong, did he?
They didn't know what was wrong. And I went to Dr. Dale, and that there's one sapsucker that couldn't doctor on my dog. I went in there, and I was near about crazy, and I said, Dr. Dale, I said, I got the money. I said, x-ray me. And you know he's an x-ray doctor.
Yes,
too.
He is.
I said, x-ray me and see if you can find out my trouble. And he got mad, and he blessed me out. But anyway, they handed me another notice to come back. Appointment.
Always do that.
Yeah, he couldn't even x-ray my old dog.
Dr. Dale.
Dr. Dale in Gainesville.
Yeah. And he blessed you out.
He blessed me out and I didn't owe him a penny of money.
Oh, what in the heck?
Well, I thought I was the only one they blessed out. Well, they don't like the way I behave. I just don't know how to act. I never heard of anybody having that sort of trouble. But I throw my hat in before I go in.
Me and Marvin left home one evening, went to Ocala. And left Mr. Guthrie sitting in the chair by himself, and he couldn't get up. But I had to have something done for myself. And I went down there, and it was so late at night when they got to me.
Yeah.
And I was really amazed at the way they treated me down at O'Keller when they x-rayed my mouth. Dr. Thomas told me, he said, you ain't got no cancer. And he says, I want you to go on now. Back down to Dr. Gibney's, and Dr. Gibney's going to help you. I said, there ain't no use for me to go to Dr. Gibney's. He's done closed and gone. He said, no, he ain't. He's down there at his office waiting on you. And I'm going to call him, and I'm going to talk to him. So when I got back down there, Dr. Gibney told me that I had a pinched nerve. So that's all was my trouble.
Yeah.
And that was late at night.
Late at night. He stayed down there, though, to wait on me.
When you're in pain, you got to have something done.
That's right.
You know, I'm, you see, money to them is a different matter. You see, money that you and Mr. Gunn had, you all had to work for it.
That's right.
And it took you a while to get a hold of some. And they just don't last any time down there.
That was in the Gainesville, doctors, I'm telling you. I don't like Gainesville Hospital, and I don't like O'Keller Hospital.
Yeah. Williston, you got a better chance there, but that's because you know the fellow there, you see.
Well, it ain't only me. It would be that way with you.
Oh?
Yeah,
you just him?
You just gotta, when you go to him, you just a patient. He
yeah.
takes care of one of them just as good as he does the other.
And he puts his mind to it.
That's right.
Well, I tell you, the worst experience we ever had with doctors, guy was in Miami with this eye detachment. And I'd had the experience, and he had too, but I'd had it where these young interns come in, and if they can't see what's wrong with it, they just gouge at your eye until they do see it,
mm-hmm.
and then they put your
yeah.
eye out.
Yeah.
So they were doing, this young intern was trying to see what gouging around, learning on Guy's eye. And Guy was in pain, and all he said was, would you let me rest a little bit?
And that's right.
That's all he said. Would you let me rest a little bit? And that is really painful. And it upset that young intern and the doctor, and they wouldn't come back to see him.
No, he didn't come back to see me while I was in the hospital. Nature took its course.
We didn't even know whether he was going to discharge him or not. I stood there and listened to him and say, would you let me rest?
You know, a lot of times, you know, you have a little pain, and you think, well, if I could just get my breath a minute or two.
Yes. Not sure.
Start all over again.
If he'd have cussed them out, it might have been better.
Yes.
They let him just spray LSA.
Is that
the biggest nuisance? If anybody shows up around here, your spray man comes. This is Tuesday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let him spray.
Well, let him spray. If we could figure out something else, we'd sure do it. That's the best thing I could come up with. Now let's just leave the darn thing and walk out here and let him spray.
Oh, you don't have to walk out.
No, he can just spray.
They just walk around the corner.
I'll just stand here, let him spray me.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Get the cockroaches off me.
I tell you, they sure are sick. Cockroaches.
I'm telling you, it's amazing where you find cockroaches.
Yes, so.
It is amazing where you find them.
How often does he spray?
Once a month.
And he can quit 1 month and they'll be just as bad as they ever were.
Well, that's just the trouble, if he could just spray once a year. But he does.
Yeah, it's like smelly. Go ahead and get him.
Well, let's just keep it clean.
Tell him to do his work.
We got to get out of here. We can't stay in here.
Maybe he can start. And
I tell you,
if there's anything I hate, Miss Merritt, it's a cockroach. I've got to call Jim to come kill him for me.
Why?
I left a bucket of seed out there, just a little seed in it, where they could get in it. And it was a trap. They'd get in it, but they couldn't get out. The next morning, next time I went out there, there must have been a dozen huge fellas there.
You know that little block house there in the yard?
Yeah.
Marvin keeps feeding there, and them sapsuckers leaves out of there at night and goes in my kitchen. Chicken feed and dog feed will raise them.
Yeah.
That calf milk will raise them.
Well, that time I went in there and got that potato hamper, I noticed there was a little batch of that stuff laying around. It's right there where they get in it, wasn't it?
Right there where they get in it. I'm going to have that there blockhouse tore down.
Well, have some of this over here tore down while you're at it.
We better get out of here.
Yeah.
That's 10-2 over, around 600, and the end of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday, the 27th of July. 1971, Smell was the pest control man. She said we'd better get out of here. Mm-mm. Channel 2 over, and the end of the visit, around 600, and the end of the visit with Miss Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of July, 71. Channel 2 over. Around 600, and the end of the visit was Miss Guthrie and Suzanne this Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of July, 1971. The pest control drove us out. We went on out on the tree, but it's so hot, we finally had to take Miss Guthrie home.